While the ushers are passing the baskets, I want to fill you in on a few things that have been going on, a few things we can be praying for as a church family. First of all, Lynn Moser, who we prayed for last Sunday and we fasted for on Monday. She has cancer in her liver, and it seems like she's doing okay right now, right? Yeah, she's had a good week considering everything going on in her body. And so continue to pray for Lynn. Dick, is there anything more that we need to say? Any more details? Okay. Just continue to pray for Lynn and continue to just intercede for her before the Master Healer, because God can and maybe already has healed Lynn. And that really excites me to see what God's going to do in this situation. All right. Also, I just found out a couple minutes ago that Howard Johnson, the previous pastor of Pathway Hope, Johnny Johnson, his dad, Howard Johnson, is in the hospital this morning with some chest pains. And so just lift that family up in prayer. Don't know what the details of that situation are, but just continue to lift that family up in prayer. They said no phone calls or visits, anything right now. Just pray for them, okay? And I want to have Barbara Ahlstrom come up here for a minute. She's having surgery on Thursday to repair her retina. Is that right? Yeah. All right. So I just want to take a moment here and just pray as a congregation for her. She's very nervous about it. And just pray that all goes well. Which eye is it?
The right eye.
Right there? Okay. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Barbara and for everything you've done in her and through her in the lives of people, Lord. I just pray right now for this surgery coming up on Thursday. Father, you are the Master Healer. We just talked about that, Lord. And you have given us doctors and surgeons and given us the technology to be able to repair parts of our body that are broken, Lord.
Yes.
Right now, she's going in to have her retina repaired on Thursday. I pray for peace right now in her heart. I pray that there be no anxiety or worry about this at all. I pray for wisdom for the doctors and clear sight for the doctors to be able to repair this retina properly, and that everything comes out 100%, Lord. Well, we pray for your healing touch on Barbara. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Also, on a positive note, I wanted to give you an update on this building that we're looking at for our church. Those of you who maybe haven't been with us in a little while may not know. We're looking at a building right down the street here on the corner of Rancho Vistoso and Oracle Road. It's the Walgreens Shopping Center. There's a building at the end of the parking lot that has a Chase Bank in it. We're looking at a couple of suites in that building. And it's about 3,000 square feet, and it's a great location, great building, and it's move-inable right now. As soon as we sign the lease, it's ready to go. No construction necessary or anything. It's going to be great. We are working out the details with the landlord, kind of negotiating some of the details, and after we finish negotiating with the landlord, then we have to take the lease that they give us and negotiate it with Foursquare and make sure it meets all their standards and you know, send our budget over and get everything approved. And after we negotiate with Foursquare, then we have to negotiate with the county or with the city of Oro Valley and get all their permits and stuff and everything. So there's still a lot of hurdles to get through. We went through this all last year with the other building we were looking at up here. So just continue to keep the entire process in prayer. And anytime we drive by that building, just kind of reach out your hand and pray that God's touch would be there and that he'd be preparing it for us already. We could be in there in just a couple of months. So I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. Okay? We started a series about 3 weeks ago called Cry Out America. This is in the Foursquare Church has partnered with a group called Awakening America Alliance. And basically, it's a campaign that runs from the 4th of July through the 10th anniversary of 9/11. OK, coming up here in about 5 weeks. And so what we're doing is we are focusing on our country and trying to find ways to get us back to the spiritual roots that our country was founded on. Our country was founded by Christians. And we've drifted away from that, and we've gotten so far away from that. And so this campaign is meant to open our eyes to how far we have drifted away from our foundations, but also to encourage us to get out there and be an influence. You know, be an influence, be the change. You know, be the person that starts the change here in Catalina and Oro Valley and Tucson. Because you can do it. It all starts with you. So each week we're having a different focus. These indicators of spiritual awakening that the Awakening America Alliance has developed. There's 10 indicators that are for our church, which we reviewed last Sunday. And there's also 10 indicators of spiritual awakening for our culture, which I want to review with you today before we get into the message for today. Just things that you can be praying for. We did pass out last week those pamphlets that had all 20 indicators of spiritual awakening on them. But these are the indicators for our culture, indicators of spiritual awakening. The first one is this: breakdowns in racial, social, and status barriers as Christ Church celebrates together. For our culture, as our culture turns back to God, if we want to see our culture turn back to God, then there's going to have to be a decrease in prejudice, in discrimination, in harassment. We're going to have to see a decrease in those areas. And it's funny, a lot of these things we're going to be talking about that relate to our culture and spiritual awakening, we're not seeing it at all right now. I was reviewing this list last night and saying, nope, don't see that, don't see that, don't see that, don't see that. You know, we're going to go over that. It's the church, a lot of things we talked about last Sunday, of those 10 indicators, we are seeing a lot of that stuff today. The church is ahead of the curve, which is to be expected, on spiritual awakening. The church is ahead of the curve on spiritual awakening more than our culture is. So, but this is one of the things we're going to have to see, is breakdowns in racial, social, and status barriers. Second indicator is a restoration of morality, ethical foundations, and accountability among leaders of church and government, business, and politics. So this is pastors, politicians, businessmen, CEOs of companies, all being on the same page as far as ethics and morals, and definitely don't see that today. The third indicator is a transformation of society through the restoration of Christ's influence in the arts, media, and communications, television, movies, the evening news, the internet. There is a lot of junk out there. And if God is going to turn our country around, if our country is going to come back to God, that has to change. We have to clean up our media. We have to clean up the internet. We have to clean up television and movies. Fourth indicator is increased care for the hungry and homeless, the most vulnerable and needy. This indicator is one that I do see. I see this. I see Christians and non-Christians that are willing to help people, that have a heart for helping hurting people. And so I do see this in our culture today. A lot of people are out there that do want to help hungry, homeless people. Another one is young adults, students, and children embracing the claims and lifestyle of Christ through the witness of peers who live and love as Jesus. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning. This is this week's prayer focus. And we're going to be talking about the next generation this morning. Sixth one is community and national leaders seeking out the church as an answer to society's problems. This I see getting worse every day. People aren't turning to the church for answers. They're turning away from the church. But that's going to have to change. Increased care for children as gifts from the Lord, as the gospel addresses abortion, adoption, foster care, and a child well-being. All those unwanted kids out there that are being killed before they're even born, you know. There's got to be a place for them, a place to care for them. Jackie's parents have taken care of foster kids since Jackie was a kid. I'm very familiar with that process. And there's going to have to be more of a heart for hurting kids in our culture, unwanted kids. Righteous relations between men and women. Decrease in divorce rates, cohabitation, same-sex relations, sexual abuse, sexual trafficking, out-of-wedlock children, and STDs. This right here, this is a problem in our culture and in our churches, unfortunately. You know, this is something that needs to be on both lists, something that has to change. Indicator number 9 was an awakening to the fear of the Lord rather than the approval of people, thus restoring integrity and credibility. And we're a long way off from this one as well. You know, people care too much about what people think and about polls instead of caring about what God thinks about what we're doing as a country. And finally, neighborhood transformation and an accompanying decrease of social ills through increased expressions of loving your neighbor in service, compassion, and unity. Just people taking care of each other. You know? We got to see more of that in our culture. We got to see neighborhoods coming together and taking care of a hurting family next door. You know? So I'm going to ask Paul to pass out these prayer guides for this week now. This is officially week 5 of this campaign, even though we started in week 3. But we're going to be focusing on the following, on these indicators of spiritual awakening. They're on the screen behind me, and they're being passed out to you right now. First of all, for our church, which we went over last week, imparting faith to children and youth as parents are equipped by the church to become primary disciplers of their children. And for our culture, which we just talked about a few minutes ago, young adults, students, and children embracing the claims and lifestyle of Christ through the witness of peers who live and love like Jesus did. So it's not the case every week, but you may notice that these two indicators of spiritual awakening for the church and for the culture, they're actually related. They're actually tied together. They're both about the next generation. They're both about kids and youth. And so I want to focus on that this morning, this week. It's not the case every week, but this week they are related. Remember, changing our culture starts with you. It starts with you. You have an influence on the people around you. And if you make up your mind, if you decide to live the way Jesus wants you to live, that's going to have an impact on the people around you. It's going to have an influence, and it's going to spread. We've got to do that. As the church and its members, as we change and come back to the morals and the ethics and the principles, the ideals that God has set down for us in Scripture, we can have an effect on the people around us. We can. Let me get one thing straight with you right now. Teaching our kids about Jesus is not Pastor Janet's job. Pastor Janet's back there right now with our kids in Children's Church. Teaching them about Jesus is not her job. At least that shouldn't be the primary person who's doing it. It's your job as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, to be teaching kids about Jesus and about what it means to follow God. And then what Janet does on Sunday mornings is she reinforces what you've been teaching them at home. You're hitting them from both sides. You know? So as we impart faith to our children and youth and raise them to follow God, And then they will, many of them, grow up to embrace the claims and lifestyle of Christ and become a witness to their friends and their schools and their neighborhoods, their relatives, people they meet. They're going to start what we talked about. It starts with them. Now, one thing I want to get straight is this is not a guarantee. If you raise your kids to know the Bible and to know God, know what it means to follow God, it's not a guarantee that when they grow up and have the choice that they won't choose to turn away from that. That's free will. There's pros and cons to free will. You know, the pro is that we have a choice. We can choose what we want to do with our lives. We can choose to follow God. We're not robots. We're not forced to do it. But the con of free will is that we can choose to turn our back on God and walk away. And you can be the best parent in the world. You can raise your kid to follow God and to read the Bible and pray. They may know everything there is to know about what it means to live for God. And they might still choose to walk away. And if that happens, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. But it all starts. Starts with us as parents. Starts with us as grandparents. We got to teach our kids what's right and what's wrong. Teach them how to follow God. Some of the responsibilities that we have in raising our kids that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, we need to raise our children to know and follow God. It's one of our responsibilities as parents. We need to raise our children to know and follow God. Proverbs 22:6, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they won't turn from it. This is not a promise. It's not a guarantee. It's a principle. If you raise your kid to follow God, when they grow up, many of them will choose to follow God themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is after Moses. He's about to die. The children of Israel are about to enter the promised land. And Moses isn't going to go with them. So he's giving them his final speech. And he's reviewing with them the Ten Commandments. He goes through the Ten Commandments. And then he says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, he says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Whatever it takes to get the idea across to your kids of what it means to follow God. Do it. Go to the extreme. That's our responsibility, to teach them whatever it takes about Jesus. It's our responsibility to impress on our children what it means to be a Christian. What it's going to take to be a Christian. What the sacrifices they're going to have to make to be a Christian. That's our job. Another responsibility we have is we need to set an example for our children. We need to live in a way that we want them to live later on. We need to set that example for them. So as we lead godly lives, and as we live by faith, and as we have joy in our lives through no matter what we're going through, and as we practice having good priorities in our lives, then our kids are going to see that. Our kids are going to see that example that you're setting, and they're going to do what you do. They're going to follow your example. Now, on the flip side, when your kids see you fight with your spouse, when your kids see you swear, when your kids see you cheat and lie, when your kids see you worry, they're going to copy that too. We have a responsibility as parents to set that example for them of what it means to follow God. Pray with your kids. Read the Bible with your kids. Talk with your kids about God. Set that example for them. Be open with them. The final thing I want to talk to you about this morning, these aren't all of our responsibilities as parents, I'm just hitting a couple, but one thing that stuck out at me this week is we need to not tease our children. We need to be careful. We need to be careful with our words with our kids and our actions with our kids. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." The King James says, "Don't provoke your children to anger." The New American Standard says, "Do not exasperate your children." The New Century Version says, "Do not nag your children." You know? It's easy when we're playing with our kids, when we're messing around with our kids. I know I find myself doing a lot with Isaac and Abby, is we'll be messing around, having fun, tickling, whatever, and it'll just start going too far. They'll say stop, 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 and I'm just having too much fun. You know, and we need to treat our kids with respect and not tease them to the point where they get angry, where they get embittered against us. You know. We need to be careful with our words with our kids, especially with the way we talk to our kids with regards to their self-esteem. Don't insult your kids. Never, even in fun, insult your kids. Don't ever call your kid fat or ugly or stupid. If you do that, shame on you. That's just not right. These kids are so young and vulnerable and innocent, and their self-esteem is just starting to develop. And if you're calling them names and insulting them, that's just going to blow their self-esteem right out of the water. You could ruin their lives. Could be years of therapy before they work past that. And that goes right along with being that godly example for our kids. The way we talk to our kids is the way that they're going to talk to us. If we treat our kids with respect, they'll treat us with respect. They'll treat other people with respect. They're going to see what we do and they're going to copy it. And as our children grow up and as they grow in their relationship with God, the hope is that they're going to rub off on the people around them. The change starts with you. In the raising of your kids. And then they're going to be an influence on the people around them. And it's going to be like a little candle in the darkness, you know, in their school. A little candle in the darkness of their school, and that's going to spread. And all these little lights are going to pop up in the darkness all around us. We got to change the culture from the inside out. And it starts at home with you and me as godly parents. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the families that are part of this church. Lord, I thank you for our kids. Lord, they are the next generation. Lord, I pray for every person in this room as a parent, as a grandparent, as someone who may have kids someday, someone who has nieces and nephews. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom in how we teach our kids. Show us, Lord, because we can't do it on our own. Show us how to be godly parents. How to teach them about you. How to set an example in the way we live. Lord, I pray for peace in our homes. The family structure is one of the areas that the devil loves to attack. So Lord, I pray for peace right now in our homes. Lord, I pray as we go through our week this week that you would be with us and that our kids would be a light in the darkness to everyone around them, the people who meet our kids know that they're different. And know that they're Christians and they follow you. And let people want what they have, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our ministry of prayer time right now. If our prayer teams would make themselves available. Over here to your left. I know there's a lot of people in this room who have a lot on their minds today. There's a lot going on. Come and be prayed for. Lay your burdens down. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.